Grace and peace to you from the one who makes our souls sing, our Savior, Jesus, the bridegroom, the strong man, who comes and who meets us today in this place. Amen. Just as we begin our time, I'm just going to borrow your music stand there, if it's okay, Melinda. And I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Psalm 19. And if you don't have one with you, a personal Bible, then use the Pew Bible there. It's on 541, I believe, is Psalm 19. And just to have the text in front of you as we read, the reading that we had just a minute ago that Adam led us through the prayer was Psalm 19, but it was also interspersed with some additional prayers. And so to have the text in front of you is a powerful thing. When was the last time your spine was tingling? I wonder if you can remember. When was the last time you felt that closeness of God that made the hairs on your forearms stand up or on the back of your neck? When was the last time your spine was tingling? Can you remember? When I was in high school, I had a place that I would go to. It was our privilege when I grew up that we lived in a rural area, and our house actually had property behind it that was kind of undeveloped. It was like a ravine, wild. My mom called it the Back 40. And so I had this huge blessing as a teen to be able to go back into the ravine and just kind of explore and find places to sit and think. And I had this one spot that I never told anybody about except for when then I grew older. But it was beside this little stream. It was beautiful. If I could take you back there, it's a little bit different now because there was actually a development that happened. But back in my memory, this was the perfect idyllic little spot to think. There was a little stream that went through. There's this nice sweeping cedar tree that had like a cradle in it that I could sit on. And I would go there for hours. I called it my nerdy J.R.R. Tolkien love, my Lothlorien, if you remember in The Lord of the Rings, that peaceful abode in Middle-earth where the elves lived. To me, it was a thin space, a place which some people refer to as where the meeting between God and people is a little less encumbered by the weight of daily life and responsibility and all those other heavy things. A thin space where we can recognize God's presence, His imminence, His love, and feel as though we are cradled. I wonder when the last time your spine tingled in that kind of a place, in that kind of a setting. Recognizing God's glory, His grandeur, His majesty, the enormity of the universe, and yet there you are in the midst of it, His child. This, friends, is the place from which Psalm 19 is written, isn't it? As you read the first few verses, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. This is not someone sitting in a forest, like also is sometimes a beautiful place to sit, but this is someone looking at the night sky, gazing up at the galaxies. Before there were such things as streetlights and light pollution. This is someone overcome with the grandeur of the universe and the God who created it all, and who says day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. What is that knowledge? What is that speech? But God Himself, the wisdom which He has imprinted in the universe, which continues to reverberate, which is the voice that goes out in all the world. When was the last time your spine tingled in that sort of a place? Well, not to put anyone on the spot, but judging from the somewhat downcast looks, maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe in this place, you come in and you exalt and your spirit lifts and you look at the ornaments and the walls and the decorations and the implements of worship and you feel as though God is near. But maybe on the other hand, you connect with God in a different place. As someone in a moment of kind of honesty the other day said to me, it's it's not in church that I meet with God. I'll go to the River Valley for that. Isn't it interesting sometimes that this building, even though it's designed, even though it's created, and the intent is to bring people into the presence of God and to walk them into that holy place of awestruck wonder, sometimes, just because it's familiar, we actually find it does the opposite. It gets in the way. Now, maybe that's not always, but for some people it is. I had an opportunity just a couple years ago in the summer of 2016 to travel south with my dad through the states, the northern states, and we had about 4 days driving down to the middle of Colorado there. And during the third evening, we had kind of relaxed, and we had an opportunity that made my spine tingle. We were driving up through what's called the Bear Claw Pass, no, Bear Tooth Pass, just on the border of Wyoming and Montana. And we were camped at high altitude. Actually, it's a really high altitude pass, and we found a spot to sleep there. And it was a clear night, no light pollution anywhere. There were thunderstorms to the north of us, but otherwise it was a clear sky and a complete darkness. The moon rose late that night, but there were a couple of hours where it was just incredible. It was like standing in heaven, really. And my heart leapt in that place to be connected to the God of the universe. And yet, then the holiday came to a close, and I came home, and the responsibilities are very real, aren't they? I wonder, perhaps for you, what is it that gets in the way? Up there somewhere, you know there's a crystalline sky full of stars and a God who has created all of that and who looks upon you with love and favor. But in between, there's a few layers of cloud. Maybe the cloudiness of daily life. Maybe it's the responsibilities. Or maybe it's the pain which has somehow crept into your experience. Or things like anxiety and chronic illness and family tensions and work responsibilities and all of those things which become like layers between that place of spine-tingling wonder and our current daily reality. Where is God when it hurts? I guess that's the question which I'm asking. Psalm 19 may be penned from a place of awestruck wonder, but what about when life gets difficult? What about when the day comes and brings with it its pain? There's an image here in verse 5. It starts in verse 4, but then it really becomes fully fleshed out in verse 5. And I'd like to invite you to think about this image as the core of the psalm, at least for now. The image is the sunrise. And if you can think of being in that night sky, that dark place full of glory, eventually the sun rises, doesn't it? And the sunrise then comes like a light filling with color, like a sky filling with flame. And the sun then eventually comes across the horizon and illuminates everything with its light and with its warmth. If you've ever been through a long, dark night of the soul, to remember that the sun is coming is hope indeed. But look at how the sunrise is described here in verse 5. Like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Isn't that an interesting metaphor? Now, men, I don't know about you. I don't know how your wedding day was. What did you do before your wedding day when you were getting ready to be married? Did you have a chamber? Did you have this, like in some texts, it's referred to as the pavilion, like a bridegroom leaving his pavilion. That's in the NIV text. Did you have a pavilion? Brides, sometimes, they have like a place where they get ready with a boudoir, right? I mean, they get ready with their bridesmaids, and they're getting prepared. They maybe put on their finery, but do grooms do that anymore? That's kind of an oddity of our modern times. I kind of showered quickly and threw on my suit. Yet here we see The image of the sunrise like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Maybe in ancient times, the bridegroom spent a little bit of time preparing for this moment. This moment. What's the moment? Well, it's the wedding, isn't it? It's the wedding between the bride and the bridegroom. That's what he has been anticipating. Why am I dwelling on this image? Well, partly we're talking about the sun here. And the author of this poem, this song of praise, thinks about the sun like a bridegroom. But there is a bridegroom coming. And friends, as we think about the way that the psalm invites us to recognize God's coming, here we see the greater bridegroom. The one who prepared in heaven, who decked himself out in radiance, but then was born as a baby. The one who stepped into the realities of our world, humdrum and painful as they are, and began to shine, the bridegroom. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says about himself, while the bridegroom is here, the guests have to celebrate. And elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the bridegroom, that for which the bride, his church, his people, his beloved, are prepared. You see, there's a meeting here. There's an arrival, a celebration at the heart of this that is really earth-shattering as a bride and a groom coming together on their wedding day. Maybe you can remember yours. Friends, there's a shift also that happens in this psalm. You know, the thing about it is, if you go out into the wilderness, maybe you watch the sunrise or the ice freeze, or maybe you watch a sky full of stars, or whatever it is, you can feel just as lonely out there as you do in 100,000 people in the midst of a great crowd. You can feel just as empty and hollow, feeling exultant in the wild places of the earth as you do in your own room. You see, God's revelation is perceptible in the creation, but it's personal in His Word. It's glorious when we go outside, but it's specific to you when you find it in the pages of the Scriptures. And therefore, there's this tectonic shift, there's this necessary focus when we come especially then to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. You see, the first 6 verses of the psalm are all about the creation, all about being outside and exulting in these wonderful spaces. But then verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What is it the psalmist is doing here? He's pointing to the way God has revealed himself. Not just in the heavens, not just in lakes and rivers and trees and all those beautiful things that he's made, but in his word, his personal message of salvation to you. And in his living presence, the word made flesh, coming in among his people and showing, this is now my presence with you. Straying a little bit from my notes, I know when I get excited, I do that. The impetus for this message today came from that conversation I had with this visitor a couple of weeks ago who said, I wouldn't really look for God in the church. I would look for him in the river valley. It was a challenge to me to hear this comment and then to grapple with it as I read the psalm. I believe that God makes himself evident everywhere. What gets in the way, therefore, is us. We are the ones who become like layers of cloud in between the earth he has visited and the heavens which resound with his glory. Friends, I would like to share that the lifeline, the security and the identity which keeps me going, which gives me hope each day and each week, is God's own presence, that imminent presence, where he comes from his lofty place of glory and says, now about you, I care. Now about your life, I'm interested. And about your particular challenges, I've got those in my hand too. This is the promise which I would like to invite you to hear today, even as you think about Jesus coming into the world, suffering dying, shedding his own blood on the cross. These are the things that we celebrate in his trajectory each season of Lent and Easter. As Jesus comes among his people, he's coming for you. It's because he's interested in your life, in your challenges. He is your bridegroom. And somehow, in a mysterious and a miraculous way, as we corporately call ourselves the bride of Christ, he comes and weds us all in a way that we have most certainly needed. Dear friends, as I close, as I think about this psalm, and as I recognize even my words and my efforts have maybe just scratched the surface of what's here, I would like to invite you to recognize that the God whose spine-tingling handiwork includes galaxies and suns, the God who created all of the world and the heavens and everything, also cares deeply about you and how you're feeling and what you might be struggling with today. And he comes near to you in that place and invites you through Jesus to feel and accept his love, to be remade in his creative hands, and to go out from this place exulting in worship. May his glory and his love resound in this place forever. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus while we wait for that day. Amen.